This Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthur's.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. I want to say thank you to all those who helped support the radio station and helped them achieve their fundraising goals for the next 6 months. Thank you so much. It means that the radio station will go on uninterrupted, and there will be funds available should anything break that it can be repaired. So thank you very, very much. And we are praying for you during this time that you will be healthy, that you will be financially taken care of. If you have a local church, I pray that this would be a time where you get to grow in your faith. I want to encourage you to thrive in this. I came up with a new term here a couple of weeks ago. I saw a commercial that a person was looking at their computer screen, and they said, during this time, you can binge learn instead of just binge watch. And it's like, ooh, I like that. And so I went to our church and I said, during this time, we can binge study the Bible. We can binge pray. We can binge worship. We can binge. There's a whole lot of positive things. Just don't waste this season. Whatever opportunities present themselves to you, just don't waste it. Don't squander it. There was a time in our lives when my wife, who had been used to working, she wasn't working. She was taking care of our son. It was, 30 years ago when we were just coming to Florida, and we only had the one car, and so sometimes she'd take me to work, sometimes she wouldn't. And the thing that I told her was this: appreciate this season, because there's going to come a time when this season will change and you'll look back and say, I wish I experienced some of the benefits of that season. Some of the greatest learning opportunities of her life and my life have come when the seasons changed and all of a sudden we had a greater understanding of things that were going on. I hope that right now you have a greater understanding of how precious yet precariously positioned life is. Do you realize the enemy that we are facing right now is something that you cannot see, even though it may be in your own neighborhood? It is that small. It takes a super powerful microscope to be able to even see this thing, and they're still working on a strategy to defeat the thing. So life is precious. Don't just sit around and wait for your last breath. Let's be utilizing the breath that God has given to us to our maximum ability, and let's make the most out of this season. God can cause us to mature during this time. He can cause us to grow. He can give us a brand new testimony during this season, and he can use us to impact people's lives. So that is what is going on right now. I encourage you to make the most out of it. So today we are going to be in Psalm 91. Psalm 91, we're not going to go back and read the first 8 verses today. We're going to just pick up with verse number 9. There's a bit of a break in the psalm, and so we're just going to pick up there and read through verses 9 through 16. It says, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he has known my name, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So there is this principle that is called cause and effect. Cause and effect. I want to talk to you a little bit about that today, because without the cause, you don't have the effect. In this case, without the cause, you would not have the blessing. We would not have the protection. So the cause says, because you have made the Lord, and I'm going to take out the comma phrases there, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. Okay, that is the cause. It's where you choose to live. Some people choose to live in a complaining atmosphere. Some people choose to live in a substance abuse atmosphere. Some people choose to live in an atmosphere of deception. Some people choose to live a life that is consumed with money or power or possessions. Some people choose to live in an immoral lifestyle or an amoral lifestyle. They choose to have an activity be the source of their identity rather than making the Lord their dwelling place. And so we have lived in our house for quite a while. When we first moved into the house, there were people who said, you know, during the first period of time when you move in, boy, you are going to work hard on that. You're going to paint it the color you want it to be. You're going to make all sorts of improvements on the house, and then you probably won't want to do anything on it for 20 years. And I can tell you, we worked hard. I mean, there were some interesting colored rooms in the house when we first got there. There were some things that needed to be repaired and stuff like that. And because of a hurricane, we didn't even get to make those improvements before we moved in. We had to do it on the fly. And so even though it had the bedrooms that we needed, because of the upgrades we were doing to the dwelling place that we had, all of us were sleeping on mattresses in the middle of the living room when we first moved in. That was because we didn't want everybody in there while there was painting and drywall repair and all that sort of stuff going on. So we got that done. There's been a few things through the years that have broken and got fixed, but really nothing transformative in the front of the house. About 10 years in, we did some transformational work in another part of the house. But the front part of the house, the original structure, had never been refreshed. That's really horrible for a guy who hosts the Refresh radio program. But last year we came and we painted, we put new baseboards down, we put new floor down. I want to ask you, would you evaluate your dwelling place relationship with God as a relationship that stuck in status quo, or would you say that it's a relationship that is constantly improving, that it is a relationship that is growing better and better as the days go on, that you are becoming more anchored in Jesus and not more casual in your relationship to him? See, the enemy will bring problems to try and separate you from your relationship and will try and crush you. But a Christian allows any of those challenges of life to actually drive us deeper into our relationship with God. And so I pray that you are more anchored, more confident, and more secure in God, your dwelling place, than ever before. So in verse number 2, because of that dwelling place, it affects the declarations that come out of the our mouth. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. And so we need to make sure that we have that causation in place so that we can see the full benefit or the full effect of what God promises to us in this passage. Here is what the psalmist said. You've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High. Okay? Even the Most High. He says this is not something that is a flimsy relationship. It's not something that is a vulnerable relationship. This is where I can come and I can feel safe and secure from every attack, even the Most High. I want to remind you how important it is for us to keep God in the proper perspective as being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Most High God, the Almighty God, the All-Wise God, the Ever-Present God, the All-Sufficient God. Okay? It is not touch and go. It is not that God is going to edge out the devil by a nose. It is not even a contest. Morally, authoritatively, or with power, God is exponentially superior to the devil in every way. The children of Israel, when they wandered around in the wilderness, they decided that they were going to send spies into the promised land. And so when they went in, they found that it was a land that God had promised them, a land that was flowing with milk and honey. They also found that it was a land that had tremendous amounts of produce. It took two people to bring back a branch that had a cluster of grapes on it. I mean, that's a lot of grapes. They said there are tall people there. There are fortified cities there. And they said, we looked like grasshoppers compared to them, and we looked the same to us. And what happened was their perspective had shifted from the God who had defeated the Egyptians. It shifted from the God who parted the Red Sea. It had shifted from the God who was providing manna for them to eat every single day. Now, the provision for the seventh day came on the sixth day. It rotted overnight every day except for the sixth day. God made provision for them. He made provision for their legal system, the way that they were supposed to do life. God was incredibly awesome. It was the God who caused a mountain to light up like it was fire. It was a God who, when he spoke, the people said, his voice is so ominous that if we hear him, it's going to kill us, even though God wanted them to know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. They shifted their focus from how incredible God was to how harsh a life they were going to have and how ominous the giants were in the land. And they forgot about God being the Most High. They thought that they had found a problem that was bigger than what God could handle. I want to fast forward that now to 40 years later when that generation dies off and two more spies. This time they didn't send in a full gamut of spies. They only sent a couple. And the spies encounter a woman and she tells them this, where have you been for the past 40 years? Every day we have been living in fear because the God who brought you out of Egypt made a promise to you that he was going to bring you in. I tell you, as a church, I don't think that the world ought to have a more lofty view of God than what the church does. I believe that the church needs to understand that we are not in a fair fight. We are in a stacked fight where God has all of the weapons. All of the weapons of the enemy are rendered useless and powerless, and we do not have to give him any single magnification. We don't have to magnify the enemy. We don't have to assume just because he goes about like a roaring lion that he is a roaring lion. He may be looking for somebody to devour, but as a child of God, I'm looking to submit to God, and I'm looking to resist the devil, and I'm looking for him to leave in defeat. So, because you make God your dwelling place, Psalm 91:9, listen to what it says. Now, I don't want you to listen to it because it's my voice. I want you to listen to it because it is the Word of God. Okay? Now, this is not only a psalm. I believe it is prophetic. I believe that it is a messianic scripture because you see some of the things that Jesus experienced right here. But we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and so we can expect to see the same provisions and the same manifestations. No evil shall befall you. Okay? Remember, you've made the Lord, the Most High, your dwelling place. Because of that, here is the effect. Here is the blessing. Here is the benefit. No evil shall befall you. You might want to make it read like this. Because I have made the Lord, even the Most High, or let me put it, because I have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place, no evil shall befall me. I knew a person that would write his name in his Bible wherever there was a promise like that. It's okay. You say, well, how can I be sure? You know what? I'm not banking on the surety of my confession. I'm banking on the surety of the God who made the promise. I'm just going to stand in the faith of what he said. Because I've seen too many times in my life when I didn't have any idea how I was going to get through the problem, and I got through the problem and didn't know how I got through, but knew that I had gotten through. Do you think it's audacious to believe that you and I can live our lives as children of the Most High God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and say, no evil shall befall me? I don't think it's arrogant. I just think it's the way that God wants us to live. Have you ever heard someone say, well, that's not normal? You know, it might be something else. It might be, you know, the way that you think or the whatever, you know, atmosphere of life. Well, that's not normal. Well, I want to ask you a question. Who gets to define normal? Are we talking about normal for a person who doesn't know Jesus, or are we talking about normal for a person who does know Jesus? Because if we are living in a world that is predominantly not walking in covenant relationship with God, their normal looks different than the normal of heaven. So I want to ask, what does normal look like in heaven? We've been going through the Lord's Prayer. That's how we got into this. And we said, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Remember that? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, in heaven, evil has no foothold. Evil has no presence. Evil has no voice, has no influence. It is completely and totally excluded from the kingdom of heaven. So, why don't we allow God to increase our faith and say, you know what? I'm going to believe that because God, the Most High, is my dwelling place, that no evil is going to befall me. It's not going to impact my spouse, not going to impact my family, my church. It's not going to prevail. Okay? Evil is that which is wicked, which is bad. You know, instead of leading to abundant life, it comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Those three aspects of the devil's nature, you add to that lying, and I don't want to have any of that influence in my life. I do not want to be a victim when God has promised that I will be more than a conqueror. Okay? No evil shall befall you. Listen to the next part of verse number 10. We're moving through this very slowly, very methodically. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Okay? Now, what we see right there, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. We see a throwback, if you will, to the protection that God had provided to the children of Israel during the last plague, the plague on the firstborn of Egypt, during the time that Moses was imploring Pharaoh to let God's people go. It was where Passover was instituted, and they sacrificed a lamb, and they put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and over the door jamb itself. And the people took up residence inside the dwelling that the door granted them access to. And when the angel of death came by and saw the blood on the doorpost, he passed by. It was because the people who were dwelling on the inside were covered by the blood that was manifest on the outside. And the angel of death that touched the throne all the way down to the servants, it touched every strata of the socioeconomic system of Egypt. There was only one group of people that it did not touch, and that was God's chosen people who had walked in obedience and said, you know, I don't know why we're putting blood on the door. I've never done it before, but I'm going to take up residence. And, you know, that night they needed to be ready to move forward. Their deliverance from Egypt was coming. Listen, whenever the enemy seeks to strike out and attack, it normally means that there is something spiritual that is getting ready to break loose. I'm believing for revival to come. If you would have 2 years ago, 1 year ago, would have said, you know, I think that there's a plague that's coming that's going to shake the world, you would have been laughed. You would have been laughed at. You would have been mocked. There were people who were laughing at the mere thought of this being as devastating as it was until they realized it was devastating. And then they wanted to make fun of people and say, well, you know, you're not responding fast enough and all that sort of stuff. Listen, I don't have time for all that. All I can tell you is this. God says, because of where you've chosen to abide in covenant relationship with the Most High God, there is a manifestation that says, no evil's going to befall me and no plague is going to come near my dwelling. Now, can I take the last 2 minutes and tell you what the very first thing that society wants to do in a case like this? They want to say, well, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And they look for anecdotal reasons as to why they don't have to believe this. Well, what happened to this person over here? And why did it happen to this person over here? And they're looking for reasons not to believe. I want to challenge you today to take the word of God, Psalm 91, 9 and 10, and say, God, I'm looking for a reason to believe. You said it. That settles it. I'm going to make the declarations of my life line up with the declarations that you have said in your word. So I was teaching this to my congregation several years ago, and a hurricane came, and God said, I want you to stand on Psalm 91. And so we did. And we took Psalm 91 and we printed it out and we put it on the church doors. We put our protections in place. We protected our windows. We protected our doors. But our greatest protection was not the steps that we took physically. It was the steps we took spiritually. And so we came back and we fully expected that God was going to be our deliverer. We had one tree that came down at my son's house, and it came down like a feather. It just inched its way down and missed his house by about a quarter of an inch. And I tell you what, when you're talking about God's protection, a quarter of an inch is all you need. We'll see you tomorrow.
Right. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I tried to figure it out time and time again, and time again. I guess there's just some things I'll never understand. 'Cause your ways aren't our ways. But deep down in my soul, down in my soul, there is one thing.